Well, that was a most important talk that Philip has given to us. The church that thought it was alive, and not only was it a good talk, but also a very challenging one. And we all need to hear what the Spirit is saying to us as individuals, to our fellowships, and be obedient, because we want to be alive, don't we? We must be alive. If we're dead and don't repent, we will be blotted out. Now, the subject matter for the second session was new directions of apostasy in the church and how to stand for the truth. And over the last couple of weeks or so, I've been mulling in my mind as to what I should be bringing, what the Lord was... I was trying to seek the Lord as to what he wanted me to bring. And one thing I did know was that I should bring how the New Age is really impacting the church today. So I knew that, but I thought, well, that's just one subject. What about reinventing grace? Those of you who take the Watchman magazine a few issues back, I did an article entitled "When Grace is No Longer Amazing." And one of the people I mentioned in that article was the man called Joseph Prince, Destined to Reign. He has his TV show and the book Destined to Reign. And I'm afraid he's distorted grace. I'm not saying many people will not have been helped by his ministry. He's a very charismatic, good-looking man. And he does preach some truth. There's no doubt about it. And those who have been caught up in legalism will find some of his teaching quite helpful. But the thrust of the teaching is this, that once you are a believer, once you are in Christ, there's no need to further confess any sin and to repent of them, because your past, present, and future sins have been covered by the blood. And of course, there's truth in that. But is taking the wonderful, wonderful attribute of God's grace too far. And you have to rub out much of Scripture. So, of course, he, with others, will say, well, once you have been saved, you will always be saved. Unlike what we just heard just now, there is a danger if one does not repent, if one does not live according to the life of the Holy Spirit and walk in the Spirit, you may well find yourself cast out. And indeed, Jesus himself says, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? People will think that they are doing the right thing, believing the right thing, but it's another Christ. And it's a distortion of the marvellous grace of our Lord. This teaching is getting, it's not just Joseph Prince, there's many others embraced it. Over 500 churches in North America are following him, his teachings and website. People in the UK lap it up. But it's a grave distortion of what biblical grace is. Thank you, Lord, that if you and I as a believer confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. But there has to be a confession. There has to be turning away. I cannot live in sin willfully and expect God. What then shall we say? How does Romans start? What then? Shall sin abound? No, what's it? Come on. Thank you. Thank you. So that was one thing, but I've talked on that now, which I didn't intend to. That's the way it goes. Another area is, which is saddening me greatly, is how evangelicals, including, I know and love some dear, dear people, who are now fraternizing so much with the Roman Catholic Church, even attending their services and so on, and thinking, well, they may have got a few things wrong. Hey, friends, it's not even an apostate church. It was never in Christ. Am I saying there's no believers? Of course I'm not. We pray that they will see the light. But more and more within and leaders within the church are saying the Pope's a good man, we can work with him, we can follow his leadership and so on. It is the spirit of Antichrist, and it grieves, if it grieves us, it must grieve the Holy Spirit greatly. New invasion of Christianity. You see, friends, deception is like witchcraft, false religion, because you can't always tell it with the naked eye. If deception is obvious, then it is not deception. The problem with deception is neither black nor white, but a mixture of truth and lies. Witchcraft, you can recognise, is an evil spirit. False religions, you can generally recognise as being false. But deception is so subtle. The Bible clearly points out some truths. Firstly, 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1. We read, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world." We read in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 13 and 15. I'm reading it quickly. They will be on the screen. "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works." 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 9. "That is, the one whose coming is in accord with the activity of Satan, with all power and signs and false wonders." And linked to that would be Revelation chapter 13. Significant chapter, well, as all chapters are significant, but Revelation 13 and verses 13 to 14. "And it performed great signs, even causing fire to come down from heaven to the earth, in full view of the people. Because of the signs it was given power to perform on behalf of the first beast, it deceived the inhabitants of the earth. It ordered them to set up an image in honour of the beast who was wounded by the sword and yet lived." Jesus' words in Matthew chapter 7, verse 15. "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." The Apostle Paul also warns us in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verses 1 to 4. "Oh, that you would bear with me in a little folly, and indeed you do bear with me. For I am jealous for you with godly jealousy, for I have betrothed you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he who comes preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit which you have not received, or a different gospel which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it." Can't you feel the pastor's heart, his anguish? "Another Jesus." It says, "For if he who comes preaches another Jesus, one who does not ask you to take up your cross, one who does not ask you to die to self daily, another spirit or a different spirit who gives people's thrills and exciting feelings but does not give them power to be holy, that's another spirit. Because the Spirit of God is a holy spirit. Be ye holy as I am holy. Without holiness, we will not see God." So I believe, friends, that Christianity may well be facing one of our greatest challenges for a very, very long time, possibly in all its history, because we're coming to the finality, the climax of this age. There's a serious and powerful seductions that are subtly changing biblical interpretations and undermining the faith of thousands of people. And I have to say, Philip said in his first session that he has a gut feeling, and I'm sure his gut feeling is probably correct. He may have even underestimated that 95% of the church or those who are professing Christians are not watching, in danger of being deceived, are not hearing or preaching about the second coming of Christ, about the judgment seat. And they are not aware of these things and the issues that are involved. And I think, friends, for many people, faith no longer requires God to be as its object. Faith does not require God as its object, but is touted as a positive power of the mind that creates what we want to. Thus, so many, when they pray that something will come to pass, it's not if God wills, and I know there can be something very religious about saying then, well, if God wills, and there can be a real lack of faith. You know, there can be fatalistic. Some people will just take on if God wills when it's something that they are praying for, which is in God's will to do for them. But if we can only believe it will happen, if we have positive thinking, then I think we're in danger. Enticed by false teaching, Christians begin to view prayer as a religious technique, a technique for getting their own way. Jesus taught us to pray, didn't he? Your will be done in heaven as on earth. In earth as it is in heaven. They set their sights upon what they want and then try to have faith to make it happen. And so we have the blab and grab seminars and how to write your own ticket with God, by thinking certain thoughts, speaking certain words, or visualizing goals. You'll find that is increasingly coming into the church. And such events, such services, such conferences are attended by thousands. The most popular God TV preachers are those who have embracing these techniques. But true Christian faith has no comparison to this kind of New Age faith, because that's where it springs from. And I will try and unpack that in a moment. And I urge myself, I speak to myself, I urge you, don't be deceived, for this faith is known as visualization, guided imagery, visionary visualization and guided imagery have long been recognized by sorcerers, by witchcraft people, as the most powerful and effective way to contact the spirit world. In other words, demons. For supernatural, or should I say paranatural, paranormal, paranoledge. They understand that. And friends, the more we understand the distinction between New Age religion and true biblical Christianity, the less vulnerable we are ourselves and the better able we are to address the confusion of people who may be earnestly seeking the truth, who may be really sincere in what they are embracing. But as I've often said, sincerity itself is not enough. The Holy Spirit leads us into truth. the truth of the Lord. I may walk out of this building tonight and you know, go up the road and I see a bus stop and I stick my hand out, it's the number 2 bus. I'm convinced, I'm sincerely believing it's going to take me to the town centre. In fact, it goes to the Q centre or something else. Well, yes. I was sincerely thought I was right, but I was wrong. Sincerity is not enough. So what exactly is the New Age? In some ways, of course, it's impossible to narrow down. The New Age is a vast smorgasbord of beliefs and practices. It's liberally seasoned with self-centeredness. It's really, well, have your way religion. So it has a very modern appeal. But friends, underlining it all is Satan's ambition to take over the world. That's underlying it all. He wants to deceive the whole world. Isn't it strange? I mean, the roots of the New Age tree, if you like, spread around the globe, but it originated from India. And you would think that this desperate, poor, in many ways degraded human conditions of land dominated by Hinduism would speak louder than words about the truth of that religion. But New Agers seem blind to the contradiction. They want to go back to the Eastern mysticism and so on and learn from the gurus of the past and of the present. Instead, the New Agers believe God is in everything, that is pantheism. All things are one, monism. That man is God. Mind creates reality. And one's own experience validates the truth. And we see all of this creeping in to the so-called Church of Jesus Christ. Especially that last one, one's own experience validates the truth. It's in the world, if it feels good, do it. But it's in the church. If it's popular, if it's getting the masses in, if it gives me goose pimples, if I get hot sweats, then it must be of God, mustn't it? It must be good. New Agers do not believe in evil. Therefore, they will not accept man's problem as being separated from a holy God. What they'll say instead, that they believe that each of us have forgotten his or her own divinity, their own God being. But you see this again, if you go to Christian bookshop, some of the most popular books are people who have embraced New Age teaching. I don't like naming people, but sometimes it's helpful. We pray for them, because if we don't, there might be confusion, because they will always be saying some things which are helpful. Joel Osteen is right into this stuff. He's embraced it. He's openly said, I do not preach about sin. I do not mention sin. I don't want to frighten people around. I just want to talk about, as Philip said, the love of God. But if we truly love people, as a pastor, if I truly love people, I will want to speak the whole counsel of God's truth, which embraces his love, his great love, his amazing grace, his wonderful mercy, his tender heart, a heart of compassion. But it will also speak about his justice, his holiness, and that he is a God of wrath to those who do not turn from their sins. If we do not mention about sin, what is the point of the cross? The cross is the foundation of biblical Christianity. This was Paul's boast. It is in the cross. And when we embrace Christ on the cross as being the Savior of my sins, who has set me free from the bondage that I was in, that has delivered me from being held captive by Satan, then I'll love the Lord Jesus with all my heart. I will hate those sins that made him mourn and go to the cross. But if we only see ourselves as losing our, you know, we've veered off the path, and that God loves us anyway, it may be a popular message to those who are perishing, but it's doing no good to those who God wants saved. So the New Age solution is to seek higher consciousness through meditation, breathing exercises, yoga, diet, crystals, channeling, spirit guides, and so on. And each of these diverse practices have as their aim to awaken God in man. Let's be clear, the modern New Age movement has a definite agenda. And I'm just now speaking broadly before I come back to the church, because this is important. The modern New Age movement has a definite agenda. It's been agreed by the main constituents. And indeed, they've adopted most of the principles of Alice Bailey. The manifesto of the New Age movement calls for, number one, a new world order. Number two, universal credit card system. This is in their manifesto. Three, a world food authority. Number four, a world health authority. Number five, a world water authority. Number six, universal tax. Number seven, a universal military draft. Number eight, abolishing of Christianity, Judaism, and Islam. And number nine, a one world leader. Philip earlier spoke about the Church of Sardis. Very, very apt and relevant. But also, I believe many of today's churches and fellowships characterize the Laodicean church, spoken of in Revelation chapter 3. They were wealthy. They were in need of nothing. But Jesus says, no, you're poor, you're wretched, you're blind. And these religious leaders influence millions around the world every day, leading them into doctrines of devils. So again, I come back to what I said just now. They collectively preach that it is unnecessarily negative and bad for the self-esteem to worry about sin and repentance. That one can use faith and get what he or she wants by manipulating God. They will teach that the world is on the road to international revival towards Christ, contrary to what the Bible teaches, that the latter days will be as the days of Noah and the church increasingly becoming apostate. And I would say that this revival in Christ is not our Jesus, but the Antichrist. And many are being attracted into Christianity today because of these false teachings and new Christ, which has the attributes of Antichrist. They are being fooled into thinking they are following the true gospel, when in fact wolves are leading them dangerously astray. And I'm afraid that many of our church leaders are not teaching the Lord Jesus Christ, but the Christ that is portrayed in New Age propaganda that no longer calls sinners to repentance, that no longer says that we are accountable to our Creator. And this force Christ offers to the financially poor, the enticing gospel of a hundredfold return for gifts to certain ministries. This Christ is being presented and redefined is not our Lord Jesus Christ, but a blasphemous counterfeit and a deceiver waiting, ready to take over the world. He is the Antichrist who is blinding the eyes of men and women from seeing the counterfeit, to see what the counterfeit is, and turning them away from the Most High God. So in the New Age, in the one world religion of the end times, Christianity must be seen, it must become, if you like, so far removed from the true biblical understanding of Christianity, of those who are denying themselves, following members of the way, following Jesus Christ, that it will be blasphemous enough to accommodate all of the world's faiths. And we must not be deceived. This is not true Christianity preaching. It's not Christianity that is preaching a message of salvation, but a perverted form that is already invading our churches today. And I have to say again, with very little resistance from its members. The message of the cross is being rejected. That is why well-known personalities within the evangelical movement can say about the cross and about God's anger being poured out upon his beloved Son, because there was no other one good enough, no one perfect, no one blameless, no one without perfection like our Lord Jesus Christ to take away the sins of the world, likening it to cosmic child abuse. It's New Age philosophy and teaching. Is from the pit. Denying the power of the gospel. So New Agers have claimed for years that we can bring anything we want, anything that we want to, into existence through visualization, such as good health, success, because we can create our own reality. And it is one of the fastest ways into the occult, imposing your will upon God and other people. So these mind-manipulating techniques for creating health, wealth, or spiritual power are not new. They've always been part of the occult. They've been dressed up into New Age language, which is demonic, and is now coming into the church. The Apostle Peter said, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exhort you at the proper time." But today, we're seeing an increasing preoccupation with self, where humility is out and self-esteem is in, contrary to what we just quoted from 1 Peter chapter 5. You know, friends, when Scripture speaks of self, it usually commands self-denial. It talks about self-control. It condemns self-worship. It does not teach self-love, self-assertion, self-esteem, self-forgiveness. Instead, it teaches us to turn ourselves to Christ. Is there some... friends, please don't misunderstand what I'm trying to say. Please don't misunderstand. God wants you to know that you're loved, that you've been adopted into his family, He wants you to know that when you confessed your sins, when you confessed your failures, when you confessed your pride, when you confessed where you rejected him and had your own way, and now you've turned and embraced his love and his grace, when you found forgiveness, he does not hold that against you. And he wants you to know that you are now a new creation in Christ Jesus. That will give you something to be pleased about. That's how God sees you in Christ. His robe of righteousness has been wrapped around you. He's put a ring on your finger. We are to deny ourselves and take up our cross, as Jesus says in Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 to 25. We're not to be self-seeking, we'll be to seeking after Christ, and he will fill us. Hallelujah! He will fill us. Blessed be his name. As Philip said in his in the first session. See, rather than the necessity of repentance and taking up one's cross, following the biblical Jesus, the New Age Christians are more concerned with social justice through humanistic efforts, changing the world, but not changing the souls of man. The Lord is not waiting for us to build his kingdom on earth. However, Satan is. And when the real Messiah returns, he is coming with a sword to judge and destroy. And not until this wicked earth is consumed will he then build and reign on earth. Hallelujah! Blessed be his name. Now, I just, as we draw to a conclusion, because I don't know how many of you may be familiar with the book, The Physics of Heaven. The Physics of Heaven is a popular book. It's co-authored by Bill Johnson of Bethel Church. But Bill Johnson is quite a prolific writer in this book. There's several contributors in The Physics of Heaven. It was published October 2012. You can buy it on Amazon. But it's also available in Christian bookshops. The Physics of Heaven. Bill Johnson, most of you should have heard of him because he has huge influence now in the evangelical church. It started off 5 or 6 years ago with the fire tunnels. You walk through tunnels of people either side and spirits come upon you. You manifest all sorts of things. Soaking prayers. Bill Johnson says a lot of good things and he's a good speaker and a very articulate person. But as I say, his leading man at the Bethel Church in Reading, America, R-E-D-D-I-N-G, he often has conferences over here. You'll go to some of the local churches who have libraries and you'll see some of his books on their shelves. Bill Johnson's contributed to The Physics of Heaven. And there's contributions from Bill Johnson describing what God is supposedly going to bring about. And the book's thesis, if you like, is a coming planetary Pentecost. A coming planetary Pentecost. If dear Bill was just a local pastor with having little influence amongst others, I wouldn't even talk about it. But many people and many, many churches, many leaders, many people imbibe all that Bill says. The authors believe in another Pentecost, a world revival that is now looming over Earth's history. And I'm quoting, it will be led by adventurous souls, brave discoverers who are unafraid to explore spiritual territories beyond the flat earth spirituality believed by the overwhelming majority of stay-at-home Christians. God's Spirit will transform and enable these coming revivalists to tap into and harness the quantum energy inherent within God's created universe. Sound, light, energy, frequencies and vibrations, which in turn will enable the revivalist by their performing signs and wonders to introduce the earth to God's kingdom. The authors also believe that as their souls are synchronized with the sound of nature's quantum powers, this second Pentecost will transform and empower these brave Christians who have dared to live on the cutting edge of God's kingdom. Through experiencing visions and having prophetic revelations, these brave adventurers will explore and tap into the powers residing in quantum world. By their endowment with supernatural powers, these stalwarts of the faith, these seers, scientists will, like Jesus, and before a watching world, command tsunamis, hurricanes, tornadoes, floods, wildfires, earthquakes, and other natural disasters to cease. And I'm quoting from the Physics of Heaven. The public demonstration of raw Pentecostal power, this new sound, will be so evident that unbelievers will run to believers, begging to receive what they have. By the droves, unbelievers will covet and beg to receive the new Pentecostal power and the greatest revival the world has ever known. That makes me weep. And Bill Johnson, bless him, has great influence amongst leaders and churches. And I say, it's not all bad. Some of you may well have been helped and blessed by some of the teaching, liberating teaching, because God is merciful. God will use me. He will use different people because he so loves and wants to see breakthroughs in people's lives, in people's marriages, to bring them out of captivity, to bring them into the freedom. But it's this subtle, underlying, New Age teaching which is from the pit. You see, what the physics of heaven is doing is turning God into more of a cosmic quantum, a force, if you like, that permeates everything, rather than a creator who is separate from his creation as described in the Bible. See, you know, again, this New Age thing, God is in everything. So we can worship the trees, the flowers, the moon, the sun, the snake, and so on, the hippopotamus. Scripture references, just because we haven't got time to look up, but Romans 1 verse 25. Isaiah 42, verse 8. Isaiah 46, verse 9. And I tell you, New Agers frequently talk about sounds and vibrations as signs of this God force. I mentioned Alice Bailey. She has, this occult prophetess. She says this: there is a group of human beings integrating now, upon whom is laid the burden of leading humanity. They are starting movements that have in them the new vibration. They are saying things that are universal in their tone. They are enunciating principles that are cosmic. So friends, a true understanding of New Age practices makes one thing crystal clear. Crystal, I didn't mean that. Very clear. Eastern practices cannot be blended into Christianity to produce something better. They can't. It's the spirit of Antichrist. New Agers are universalist, believing that all paths lead to God. And they cannot tolerate Christians because they are narrow-minded. But you see, God's word anticipates this. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 13. Matthew 7 verse 13. Enter the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. So what we know about the New Age movement so far is this: it is extremely large, it's all-pervading, it's made up of an extensive network of mystic, occultish figures devoted to the goals of forced global governance and religion. That's what they're devoted to. They have expressed their rejection and hostility towards Christianity, and indeed are the major religions. And they seek to establish a universal leader who will fulfill the description of a satanic deity. And anyone who cares to do the research will find that Eastern religion remains the same. Linking oneself with the universal energy is still the goal. A Christian can believe, if they want to, that yoga is for health and well-being, but the facts have not changed. You're entering dangerous spirit territory. Can I just mention something else which you must be aware that you, and this is the Reiki healing. Be very careful if you go to even a medical practitioner and they want to perhaps do lay hands on you or whatever. Be very careful. Reiki, of course, is the practice of laying hands on the healing, not for healing of the sick. And I'm sure most practitioners want to do good. But where is the source that the healings originate? There is the involvement of spirits. You must be very careful. The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, that is against people, but against principalities, against powers, that is the spirit demonic world, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. The Bible warns in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13 to 15, that such are false apostles, deceitful workers, performing themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be in accordance to their works. How to stand for the truth? Abide in Christ, as he is in you, the biblical Christ. And you will bear fruit to his glory. Abide in Christ. Be full of the Holy Spirit. Make sure you're baptized in the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. That's true life. That's true living. It's better than any counterfeit stuff. And one day you will meet him face to face. Amen.